Welcome to the Top 5 Podcast with your hosts, Rail Bricker and Lindsay Adams.
Welcome back. Our special guest today is Rand Selick. Rand lives in Mill Valley, California, which he tells me is about 15 minutes north of the Golden Gate Bridge. What a lovely place in the world to live. Rand is an accomplished entrepreneur, coach, scoutmaster, board member, and roll-up-your-sleeves conservationist. He shares his extensive expertise in his book with an MBA from Stanford and undergraduate degrees in mathematics and psychology. He excels at managing complex projects globally. He's relentlessly positive and believes he can design his own life and others can too. As I said, he lives in Mill Valley, California, and he enjoys life's adventures with his wife of 42 years. Well done, Rand, and welcome.
Thank you, Lindsay. Nice to be with you and Rael today.
So, Rand, we're here today to talk about the top 5 tips for thriving personally and professionally. So let's get going. Tip number 1, what have you got for us?
Well, having run my own investment banking firm for over 3 decades, there are a number of things that I've discovered along the way that will help executives and really people of in all stages of life. And let me just start with tip number 1. Is being a lifelong learner. So ask yourself, am I curious? Being curious and asking questions is really invaluable. People tell me that it helps them with conflict resolution and helps them suspend judgment. It's also being a lifelong learner helps us learn from our mistakes. We have to be honest with ourselves and figure out what role we played in the mistake, but then we can turn those mistakes into valuable lessons.
Do you mean study at university? Do you read books? Watch YouTube? What's your recipe?
Well, I think everybody's a little bit different around that. I am a voracious reader. And I just love reading books. We're living in a world where you can read an ebook very quickly if that's a dimension that's valuable. I've been doing that recently more. So I do a lot of reading. But there are other ways that people can be curious. But, you know, the thing I think really, Lindsay, is to just sort of when something happens, just say to yourself, what's going on? Why is that happening? How is it happening? And you can Google an answer. You can just get into a conversation with yourself or somebody else to go into discovery mode.
Google's an amazing tool, isn't it? I went to a doctor recently and I said, I went to Dr. Google the other day and I researched this and I could see the guy's rolled his eyes back at me. I wonder how many people, of course, do that these days. Google, it's the font of all knowledge, isn't it?
I saw a T-shirt a few years ago that the back of the T-shirt said, I don't use Google. I don't need it. And the front of it says, my wife knows everything.
So, Rand, we're talking today about, you know, your top 5 tips for thriving personally and professionally. So you've got yourself into this mode of questioning, of learning, of learning from everything and everyone around you. Hit us up. Tip number 2 for thriving personally and professionally.
Well, tip number 2 is to establish great habits and routines. So again, I hope your listeners will take a look at themselves and say, what good habits do I have? There's just an enormous amount of value that I have in organizing my schedule by writing down what my tasks are for the day, for the week, for the month, and for the year. It actually rolls from the year down so that the night before, you know, I look at what's coming up the next day and I adjust. I actually do some thinking overnight. It's kind of pleasant. I start the day very well organized. I can move things around a little bit more readily, and I don't miss things. I don't skip over or something at the end of the week. It's Friday afternoon. I go, oh, no, I missed that. That doesn't happen. And the important things, the really important things, not just the noise, get handled, because I'm rolling forward from year to month to week, and it's really, really extraordinarily helpful tool. The other thing, another habit is a cluster, but it sort of clusters around being grateful. You know, we live in a world that is somewhat cynical, but if you stop and look around, look at what good things have happened. Maybe yesterday was not such a great day, but today's a great day, either because things are going well or the weather's good or whatever. But being grateful for what's going on, find something to be grateful about, is really important. And the way I'm able to be grateful is I slow things down. Sometimes that means just going out for a walk. And I give myself plenty of time to think. That having the schedule, the first habit that I mentioned, is really helpful in that regard too, because the only way I can schedule is to be by myself and to take the time to think.
So, Rand, you mentioned schedule and writing stuff down. So I'm curious, do you keep an electronic diary? Do you do that on paper? Or do you have a tool that you use for that?
Yeah, I must say, Lindsay, I'm kind of old school. Somehow I magically think it's a law of physics that it goes from my brain down my arm to my finger to my pen or pencil, and there it is. It just pours out. You know, I use, of course, all the normal media for emails and LinkedIn and all that kind of stuff. But this process of writing and scratching out and adding something over in the sidebar of my piece of paper is the way it works for me.
Fantastic. You know, you mentioned being grateful and going for a walk. My office is about 8 or 9 minutes from the beach. And I often go in the morning down to the beach, go for a nice long walk, dump my thoughts. I use AI software to dictate and translate my thoughts into a Word document. And I'll go for a 5, 6, 7 kilometer walk along the beachfront and then back along the sand. That's my Zen time. Being able to, and I guess we live in a privileged world where we have the time and ability to do that. That to me is quite important. And then we can be grateful.
I like that a lot. You know, we're in a world now where AI is coming around in all kinds of really valuable ways. I know there are a lot of people afraid of it, but the way you're talking about Rail is just great. Just so long as you occasionally put that phone away and can look out at the beach and look at the sand and just put that smile back on your face, I'm happy to hear what you said.
Well, I'm just worried about him getting his shirt off at the beach. That's going to frighten the children, I reckon. That's another day. We'll talk about that another time. All right, let's move on to tip number three.
Tip number three is figuring out how much is enough. This is important for executives. It's important for people really of all types. You know, I've seen so many people, especially if they're already doing well financially, struggle with this question. You know, more, more, more. Maybe it helps to remember that to have more is not to be more. And I like this quote by Will Rogers, the famous American. You fellows down there in Australia, you've heard of Will Rogers.
Yeah.
He says, "Too many people spend money they haven't earned to buy things they don't want, to impress people they don't like."
It's too true, isn't it?
Yeah. Enoughness is this capacity to look inside and to see what really adds value. So it's an internal yardstick. It's not, you know, what a neighbor did or a coworker or somebody else. No, no, no. This is you deciding what's really valuable and important to you. And saying, "I don't need that. I don't want that. I'm not going to do that. And I'm going to stay on my path."
Yeah, that's an interesting one, isn't it? When do you decide enough's enough? When is this do you pick a time once a year where you think about, have I got enough? Is this something that happens organically? Have you got a process around this, Rand?
Yeah, it's a deep issue, and I did a lot of reflect on this a long time ago. I was probably in my 30s with young kids. I just started my own company, and I had to think about what I wanted to do. What was I trying to build, and what kind of life did I want to create? I believed very strongly that I had a lot of choices, and that I could do what a lot of people are doing, is have a zero-sum game. It's either work or family. And if I was working, I wasn't with the family. So with the family, I wasn't working. And the idea of getting bigger and, you know, doing all that and adding some more stuff to my bank account. And I just said, that's not for me. What I want to do, yeah, I want to be stable financially. I want to be secure. I want to be able to raise my family in a way that works for them. But it was really about figuring out, based on my values, based on the things that I thought was important, and of course, you know, aligning myself with my wife as my lifelong partner around these kinds of questions. So, for example, when we took a big trip, like my kids were turning 9 and 11, it's time for us to go to Africa and be with the animals. And rather than go on a safari, which can be very expensive, I said, let me network, because I'm involved with a lot of people in conservation. Let me do a pro bono project. And we wired ourselves into a really fabulous project in South Africa. We spent 4 months. Wow. Now, we paid for our airfare. That's for four of us. But every other expense on the ground was paid for by our host, our sponsor. And having skin in the game is really what that kind of project's all about. And it was invaluable to do that. We learned a lot. We really appreciated seeing these amazing, amazing, beautiful animals, met some extraordinary people, made a big contribution on the project we were working on. And that would not have been possible had I thought about this money and enoughness in a very different way. Would not have happened.
That's a fantastic story. You may have gathered from my accent that I lived in Africa for half my life. So, there is nothing in the world that is like the African bush, I have to say. So, Rand, hit us up. We're moving on. Tip number four for thriving personally and professionally.
So, number four is about understanding what leadership really is. So, the thing is that we use the word leadership and management almost interchangeably, but in fact, they're very different kinds of things. The way I like to think about it when I'm summarizing this is leaders do the right thing and managers do them right. Or as Stephen Covey said, management is efficiency in climbing the ladder of success. Leadership determines whether the ladder is leaning against the right wall.
Yeah.
And this is a personal thing as well as a professional thing, for sure. And to quickly summarize, what are the leadership components? What are the main ones? Well, a leader is going to set direction and vision. Critical task. They're going to foster culture and create alignment. They're going to initiate and inspire action. They're going to motivate. And they're going to lead by example. Now, that differs from what a manager is going to do. A manager is going to plan the work. They're going to organize the team. They're going to assign and direct the work. And they're going to then monitor the results and make adjustments. So, you know, it's the leader who's really creating the vision and the direction, and the manager is carrying that out. And I think that clarity is important, because some people, I think it's very rare for a person to be both a good leader and a good manager. In my case, I am a great leader. And when it comes to the people side of the equation, I give myself a B+.
Okay. So, Rand, I want to ask you, this is an old question. Are leaders born or can they learn to become leaders? Is it innate skills or is it something that we can read a book and put into play?
Yeah, I think leaders are made. But it's not about reading a book. Yes, I think reading books, and there are many, many books that are very helpful. When I was a scoutmaster, I actually taught a short course on leadership and management to the scouts. It was a fun time, and I had to go through a lot of books to be able to summarize and get to the pithy elements of that. But it's the practice of it. It's the making the mistakes and taking risks. That really establishes the groundwork. When I was in high school, I went to a really great, very established high school, at least established for U.S. terms, well, maybe for Australian too. And I became the editor-in-chief of the yearbook. Well, this was a very big job. And I, as a vision, as a leader, I said, let's put color in. For the first time in 120 years, it'd be the first time we could do that. Now, that was also going to be expensive. So I said, we're going to also make money, which had never been done before, and we're going to make money even with the color. Okay, so off we went to do that. I picked eight managers or editors for sections, and they all came in and were doing their work very excitedly, and they would come in and chat. And I said, what are you chatting about? We've got work to do. We've got deadlines to meet. And during the course of that, I lost all of those people as friends. We created a phenomenal yearbook. People still reach out to me, say, thank you so much. I can pull out the yearbook and remember, you know, a person or you know, what those 4 years were all about. It was incredible. And your yearbook is just so, thank you so much. But it was a wake-up call for me to realize that I needed to get a lot better as a manager of a process and of people. My leadership, well, I would still keep honing that, but this was a really valuable, painful moment for me. And it happened early. So I've had lots of years to continue to work on it.
Cool. Okay. Well, let's move on now to the last tip. Tip number five. Round us off to bring us into the finish line.
Yeah. So I'm happy to wrap it up with the tip that we have enormous power to make choices in every aspect of our lives. This is like, you know, how we feel, which is instantaneous levels of things, but we can carry those feelings forward and emotions forward. You know, who we're spending time with, what we're working on. These are all choices we make. It may not feel that way or may not look that way, but I really want to assure people these are choices. And we, because of those choices, we can design our own lives. And that relates back to this idea of how much is enough, that kind of thing. Really understanding yourself, taking a deep look inside, figure out your values, figure out what's important, and becoming the author of your own story. So what does that include? It includes a lot of really good things. So it includes a decision to whether you're going to be of service. You know, whether that means if you're an executive, sharing your accumulated knowledge and experience, joining a board, or maybe volunteering. Having an impact by being charitable or philanthropic is another part of that being of service. Continuing on through life, having purpose and meaning. There are a lot of clients I've had over the years when I sold their company and I saw them a couple of years later because I kept in touch. They were a shadow of their former selves because they had given away this thing that had purpose and meaning for them with their company, to their bucket list, which they had gone through. And now they did not have the robust relationships. They didn't have challenges anymore. And they had not created new purpose and meaning for themselves. There's also a choice we can make around building enduring and deep relationships. There's a process that I've discovered and I talk about in my book about building relationships. And there's also the possibility of aging well. which includes many, many different features. But being a lifelong learner is part of that. Having gratitude is part of that. And having friends of all ages, talking about relationships is key to this. And all this is wrapped up in being positive. This is a choice also.
Yeah, excellent. I love it.
Fantastic, Brand. So if our listeners want to get in touch with you or find out more about your book or buy your book, actually, where do they get hold of you? What's the easiest way to be in contact?
My book website, randselig.com, R-A-N-D-S as in Sam, E-L-I-G, will give you a lot of information about the book and has a page where you can contact me for just saying hello or asking a question or booking me for some event. Of course, you can Google me. There's all kinds of podcasts I've been on and talks and so on. I have a LinkedIn page. That's my primary social media platform.
Excellent. Rand, thank you so much for spending the time with us today. So I'm going to wrap up this episode thanking Rand Selig, our guest today from Mill Valley, California. And this is Lindsay Adams signing off from Brisbane, Australia, and with my colleague Rail Bricker from Perth in Western Australia for another edition of the Top 5 podcast.